Damp Beds, Ellen G. White. We would suggest to the readers of The Reformer that their sleeping rooms need extra attention this damp November weather, and especially is this the case with the spare bedroom, the curtains and blinds of which are too often closely drawn. Protect the lives of the friends who visit you by giving proper attention to their sleeping apartments. It is some little sacrifice for them to be deprived of their customary room and bed, but in addition to this, do not let them be haunted with a fear of the damp bed in that spare room. You cannot be too careful in properly ventilating the room and in seeing that the bed and bedding are perfectly dry. Many are slow to become intelligent concerning the important matter of properly caring for the bedroom. It is not safe to sleep in a room that is seldom occupied and is not frequently heated unless the bedding is first exposed to the sun for several hours, or, in case this should be impossible, subjected to artificial heat. Every article composing the bed should be perfectly dried. If these precautions are neglected, health and life itself are endangered. In our itinerant experience, we have suffered much from being assigned to rooms and beds not in common use and not properly aired. It was unpleasant to dictate to our hostess concerning the room and bed we were to occupy, and from a fear of being judged notional or too ready in making work for others, we often ran serious risks. Earlier in life, we did not so fully realize the danger lurking in the damp, spare beds of our friends, and the life of one of our little ones was sacrificed by sleeping in one that had not been previously used for several weeks. In the state of Maine, we were once entertained by kind friends who seemed anxious to do all in their power to make us comfortable, but they did not see the importance of carefully attending to the bed in the spare chamber. We had labored hard during the day in speaking to the people and needed a good night's rest. But the room we occupied was cold, the bed was damp, and we became so thoroughly chilled that sleep was impossible. We substituted our large blanket shawl for the damp sheets and finally put on the most of our garments, but we were too cold to sleep and lay shivering through the entire night. In the morning, courteous inquiry was made as to how we had rested during the night. In reply, we stated that the bed was damp. Our friends expressed profound astonishment at this and assured us that we must be mistaken. But, upon investigation, we learned that the room and bed had not been used for weeks. The blinds had been closed, excluding the sun and air, and, there being no conveniences for lighting a fire in the room, it had gathered dampness for weeks. And yet it was difficult to convince the good people who entertained us that the room and bed were not just as they should be, and they could hardly account for our painful experience during the night. At another house, we were entertained by friends whom we highly esteemed, but in their anxiety to treat us with marked respect, we were, as usual, assigned to the spare room and the damp spare bed. The windows were draped with heavy curtains, and the blinds were tightly closed. The room was elegantly furnished, but as soon as we entered it, we were greeted with a moldy smell and a cold, poisonous atmosphere that seemed to chill the blood in our veins. Upon examining the bed, we found it so damp that we dared not occupy it in that condition. Although it was late, we stated the case to our hospitable friends, and they immediately proceeded to correct the evil as far as possible. A rousing fire was built in the room adjoining ours, and the clothing was removed from the bed and hung before the fire to dry, and in that position, drops of water actually formed upon the sheets. But when, at a late hour, we retired to rest, it was to occupy a dry bed in that spare room. We might relate many such incidents in our experience, but these are sufficient for the purpose. A family whom we highly respect moved from Maine to California, hoping that the mild climate of that state would improve the health of the wife and mother. She was greatly benefited by the change and seemed in a fair way of recovering her full strength. But, a neighboring family being afflicted with sickness, she went, at the solicitation of her neighbor, to watch with and assist her. Toward morning, she went to bed in the spare room, which, unfortunately, was very damp. As a consequence, she contracted a severe cold which settled upon her lungs. She sank into a rapid decline and soon died, a victim to the damp, spare bed.
Illy, ventilated rooms, from which the sunlight is excluded, and which are undried by fires, are fearfully destructive of life. So much is sacrificed every year through the influence of these damp rooms and beds that we cannot keep silent. We hope to arouse the people so that they will see the necessity of having conveniences for fires in their sleeping rooms, so that during the damp seasons of the year, the room may be kept free from dampness and mold, and the bedding dry. A little expense in this direction would save large sums in doctor's bills, and a great amount of suffering would be avoided. We appeal to every reader of the Health Reformer to open every room in the house to the purifying rays of the sun and the sweet, pure air. Open your shutters and remove your heavy curtains. They are unnecessary. Invite the sun and air as daily guests into your rooms, and you will be repaid in improved health and more cheerful spirits. And your guests will receive your courtesies, unattended by the ghostly dread of that damp, spare bed.